Go ahead, Ines. Otherwise.
So let's. So welcome to the members' meeting this month, everyone. Salon.
Salon.
Maybe we could just close our eyes for just a second. We just get out of the meditation, but center ourselves and thanks God for this opportunity. And salam again.
Salam.
All right. So welcome, Brad. So yeah, Maitreya, if you have any questions for it.
Yeah, we have wondering, you know, what happened. Is everything okay with you, Brad? How was your trip? And sounds like you eventually made it here.
Yes, everything was fine. I had a nice trip because I got out of Ohio just before they got hit with 1 or 2 feet of snow and about 12 degrees. And as I headed south, it just got warmer and nicer. And I was went down through Texas, and it was 70 degrees and sunny. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I didn't bring this colder and rain today because I just now got here. But we'll blame it on my dad because he's coming flying in tomorrow for stay for a couple of weeks. So we'll say he brought the cold weather with him.
Yeah, it was your dad who brought the cold weather. Great, great. How was Texas? Was good? Did you meet go ahead.
Yes, it was fine. I went down through the some of that Big Bend country down there and actually went to the McDonald Observatory and took a look through some of the telescopes down there and looked at some of that. So that was pretty nice. And I kind of try to look a couple places here or there because I've been in all 50 states and more than once, and so it's not easy for me to find places I haven't been before. So I kind of wandered around and cut across some areas, but it was a nice trip, and mostly because I didn't have to get any ice or snow, and the only rain I got was when I was up at my landlady, Kyosha's, for a couple of days, and it rained pretty good the one day up there. But after that, that seemed like that drained all the water out of the clouds for me because I never got another drop till I just got some here this evening here in Albuquerque.
Great, great. And do you have a place to stay when you get to Albuquerque?
Yes, I rented a condominium here. So a woman has one up for sale, and so I have it for 45 days, and so I'm gonna be here for quite a while, and it's a pretty nice place. It's a small place over here by Paseo del Norte and Louisiana Boulevard.
Oh, you're already in. Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'm already. I just got in today. This will be my first night in the new place. So, okay. I want to come up and visit you guys sometime here soon. And now it will just be a matter of trying to find a place on this crowded highway out here.
Yeah, sure. Just let us know when you're coming. Sure. And also, we have a new person, Katrina. If you want, she wants to take Mike can tell us something about herself. Eunice, go ahead. You take care over.
No, it's okay.
I can't help it. I just...
Yeah. So welcome, Katrina. I guess you could introduce yourself to the room if you want to.
You're talking to me?
Yes, like.
Sorry,
you were asking.
I can only hear you. I can't see. I don't have a picture.
Mm-hmm. But we can hear you.
You can hear me, huh?
Yeah, your voice sounds very good.
Yeah, there are no pictures. Sorry to say.
Oh, there are no pictures. Oh, no. Such a pity. Well, I'm Katerina. I'm from Holland. It's
great.
3:30 in the middle of the night.
Oh,
I locked myself up because I wanted this so much since a couple of years. I worked together with a wonderful, wonderful calling a master in India. That's Surya Ji. And the name says speak for itself. He's a master for teaching about the sun. And I had, all my life, I have a lot of visions. I met Maitreya in the visions years ago. And because of that, I built a big water project in Kenya with his help, and everything is going telepathically. My whole life is like that, and there was a very strong urge to meet Maitreya, but to meet you all, it's very important. And my biggest wish is to connect Suryaji with Maitreya, because the mission is the same. And Suryaji is quite a young person in the life this time. And we want to spread the message of the sun and the teaching of the sun, sun gazing and live by sunlight. And we travel around all over the world to teach the powers of the sun for the soul, for enlightenment, and for new technology. That's my story.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's 4:30 here too. I'm in Turkey, so it's 4 in the morning also here. So yeah, great that you make it here. I understand that you've been talking to the mission for some time now. Is that correct?
Well, we just she told us that she wanted to join the meeting, and so it was nice to see that she made it.
Actually, this is Suraya means sun, right?
Yes, Surya means sun. Yeah, and we teach, it's calling Surya Yoga. It's the whole life is living in the sign of the sun, and in Holland, the Netherlands, I try to start the solarization, that's the way I call it. And yeah, I started a small group, the Solar People. We do sun meditation every morning when the sun rises. We do the sun meditation to get the third eye connected with the light of the sun in the same frequencies.
Do you know anything about our teachings?
Yes, I know a lot about your teachings, about my Maitreya's teachings. Lot. I follow you already for years and years and years. Silently, nobody knows. But I'm talking about it now.
Okay. What do you know?
What I know, yeah, that's quite a lot about the mission of Maitreya.
Oh, yeah, all good. Okay.
Great.
It's about sharing and treating people equally and try to have a total new economy to fight the poorness. It's a total change of the world, total change of mentality.
Do you know anything about seven seals?
Yes, I know seven seals. And the last seal is pure consciousness.
Good.
And it is revealed now. It's revealing.
Well, welcome to the room and the mission. And
we hope you
find what you're looking for. And if you have a question, I'm here. You can go ahead and ask me. So new people usually have the priority to ask questions and get to know the mission. So if you have a question, go ahead. And anytime you have a question, just go ahead.
Yes. You know, the fact is, at the moment, I have one question. the 19th, I think you're not in London at the moment, but the 19th, I am in London, and the greatest wish I ever had in my life is to meet you in person, to have a conversation and interview with you that would help here in Holland.
Great, yep.
And to visit you together with Suryaji. I wish you, yeah. Maybe you know him. I don't know if you know him. You know him. Could be.
Okay.
I know your voice.
Oh, good. Do I sound the same?
I'm sorry?
Do I sound the same voice you know?
Yes, I heard you a couple of weeks ago at night. Mm-hmm. And you talked to me. And you told me if you really want to meet me. I told you, yes, I really want to meet you. You asked me that three times. I said three times, yes. And then you showed me a certain link in internet. the same morning I woke up, I thought, a link in internet, a link in internet. And that's the way I came here now. So good to learn and recognize your voice.
That's good. That's good.
Just one quick thing. I don't know if Katrina realizes that my KG is in the United States, in Albuquerque, in New Mexico.
You are there, huh? You are in London?
No.
You are in London?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
Not in London, no.
Katharina, do you also read about Share International or Benjamin Krem's teachings?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I went to Benjamin Krem's teachings, lectures. I have the little magazine, and the magazine is not interesting in me anymore at all. It's repeating and repeating, and I put it aside, but I want a little more. I want more. I want to work. I want to work in the world.
You realize that Mr. Krem is a little confused that there might is, don't you?
I'm not confused.
No, Mr. Krem is.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So you have a question for Maitreya or not?
I think her question was that she wanted to meet him in London. But I hope you do understand, Katharina, that we are not really affiliated or associated with Benjamin Krem or the Share International organization, and that they speak a lot of things about Maitreya which we do not believe, such as the idea that he will arise in London. It does not fulfill the prophecies the way that they say it. So I hope you understand that.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah. Actually, Mr. Krem might be talking about the same person, but he might be the confused one, actually. That is what exactly happened to John the Baptist. He was talking about Christ, but he expected differently than what God intended. That's why John the Baptist never recognized Christ, where he was and who he was. And it was his disciple later on went to him and asked him, are you the one we are waiting for? He said, yeah, you know, you see all the prophecies are fulfilled and all that. And therefore, I do not completely, you know, say that he is wrong, but I think he's confused. As John the Baptist. I know some people don't like that, and they like me tell them, yeah, he's wrong, but I'm still waiting for the verdict. Yeah. Okay.
So we welcome Katrina into the meeting once again, I guess, And how is everyone else doing? How are things going? Is there any topic? We don't have the news brief this time.
What are we going to do?
I understand why you gave me the... why you wanted to moderate after the news brief.
Maitreya said the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, me and Noor discussed it and said, oh, Eunice got the bad one. Every month that we don't have news brief, he's the moderator.
I promise I didn't mean to, Eunice.
No, you planned it.
I know it's that.
No, not really.
Eunice, are you a little sick?
I was... well, it's 4:30 in the morning, so I just...
Oh, okay.
Up.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's why I have...
Okay.
My voice.
A sickness going around here. That's
Vibrizo is typing in text that he has a... Go for it, Eunice. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Vibrizo, if you have the mic, yeah, go ahead. Or not, you can type.
but it looks like you do. I can see.
Is it coming through now?
Yes.
I was pushing a button. I just now realized the button I was pushing was the on-off button. Every time I tried to speak, I'd push the button and turn the mic off. This doesn't require a button.
No.
What I was starting to say is that I've been trying to attend as many of the PAL Talk sessions as my schedule permits, especially the 5:50 a.m. and 5:50 p.m. sessions. Those are the reminders. And there's a couple of phrases in the reminder that strike me as very interesting. When you refer to let's see if I can get the exact verbiage here, we bow our heads in front of those great souls in the past and those to come, which kind of, in my mind, refers to what other traditions call the ascended masters. So I went into Tho to research the teachings on ascended masters, or those great souls who have been here and who are yet to come. And the only thing I can find is on page 271, and it's the section from the Quran, and talking about the angels and the avatars. But it's very brief, and it's a teaser, really, because it doesn't go into any depth about who these great souls are that have been teaching us and who are yet to come. And what is their relationship to us? Are they non-physical entities? Are they... And I understand by reading a little bit further in the book that it's possible for these avatars to come down in physical form and become teachers in human form, as Maitreya is. I would like anybody to answer, and maybe just somebody in the room other than Maitreya. Maitreya, I'm not trying to say I don't want you to answer, but I just would like to hear the general understanding of who the avatars or the ascended masters or the great souls are. Thank you.
Well, can I go ahead and start off with a couple links that might be able to help you? Is that all right? So give me one moment. Let me get the second one. The first one is a discourse by Maitreya that's almost entirely about the reminder, actually. And I just posted the link in the text. And it goes into quite a bit of detail as to what each of the phrases mean. And there is many paragraphs of meaning behind each sentence in the reminder, which is made clear in this discourse. So I think you might find that interesting. And then if you go to the glossary in Tho and you look up avatar, let's see. So here's the glossary A. And if you go down, you can find avatar. And I think that will explain to you very more in depth as to what exactly an avatar is, or a great soul, or a son of God, and such things as that. So that's my input.
And also, 2 weeks ago, I believe it was Samuel that asked a question about the great souls. And I know it's recorded in voice, but I don't think it's recorded where you can read it on the website.
Okay, well, I was actually hoping more for a discussion than direct me to a reading session. I'll certainly read the information. But I was hoping this would be a suitable topic for discussion. Also, when I read over to the next page, 273, I saw that there is a, under the Sarah, the family of Imran, there is a reference to the desire for pleasure comes from women and the lower nature of man. So I realize that may be the Muslim take on women being the lower nature of man, which is why they keep the women wrapped up and in a subservient position. But I'm hoping that's not what the mission is advocating. I think other traditions that I have studied put women on equal and some even a higher spiritual level than men. And it's a shame that the Abrahamic religion, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim religions have relegated women to a almost a behind-the-scenes hidden role, when other traditions elevate women to a much higher status. In some traditions, women are even the goddess or the priestess that that is served by the male members. So I was just wondering what people feel about those comments and that, or am I misunderstanding what the Thaw is saying?
Well, one thing is, if I can jump in, mission teaches men and women are equal, but they're not the same. And I hopefully Maitreya will go deeper into this, but also in the Abrahamic religions or in all religions, there's always the symbolic language, and women it's explaining though that it symbolizes the lower nature that we all have to overcome. But it's not to say that to put women down, or you know, it's not. It's just any other thing misunderstood by the followers of one specific religion.
Yeah, Rizzo, it sounds to me like there's a little confusion in a couple of areas. Like, for example, there's a difference between woman, as in, like, man and woman, like the men and the women, the human men and women, or gender, and the male and female, like, energy in the universe, or the, like, male and female side of God, or the male and female that's discussed symbolically in the Bible and other scriptures. They're not really the same, and they're comparable in some ways. You know, there are some things that relate, but when, you know, in the story of Adam and Eve, you can find this in Thaw in the Holiest One and the Holiest Two, right at the beginning. But like the story of Adam and Eve, talking about Adam and Eve eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and falling from the snake. Like in that case, it's a symbol of the lower nature of man, not really relating very much to the idea of a man and a woman, if I understand correctly. And also, you were talking about how Islam and the Abrahamic religions relegate women to a subservient status because they're behind the man. I think you have to remember that humans have twisted the words of God to create inequality, but at the same time, it's been made very clear in many scriptures that the man is the head of the family and the woman serves a different role as the protector and comforter, center of the household. And it's just like Eunice said, they are equal, especially in spiritual progress, and they both have to be provided for, cared for, loved, and comforted. But their roles in general in society are not the same. And it's only humans that assign a better or worse role to each one. It's humans that say that it's better to be the head of the household and worse to be the center of family life. That is not the truth. They're both equally important, but they're not the same. I hope that makes sense. And I hope that what I just said is true.
And I think it's really good that Fabrizio brought that up, because this has come up over and over again, even though it isn't, though. I think it's a topic that people do easily get confused about, you know, as woman being symbolic of the lower nature as well as woman and man, just, you know, regular woman and man. So, it's good.
Well, I'm not going to say anything because he doesn't want me to answer, so I'm going to stay quiet.
That's not exactly what I meant. I just wanted to, because, you know, in listening to many of your discourses and to some of the previous sessions of the Wednesday monthly meeting, I've heard you try to get people to come out of hiding and participate more in the conversation.
Yeah,
so I was just kind of trying to move things in that direction. Because I'm sure everybody in this room has knowledge that they would like to share but sometimes people seem to be shy. Shyness is not one of my problems, so I sometimes say things to people just to get them riled up enough to get angry with me so they start talking. Sometimes people call me an agitator, but really what I'm trying to do is provoke people into participating.
That's great. No, I was just kidding. Actually, that was good. It get everybody going. Go ahead.
So did those comments, Mitzas, answer the questions?
And does anyone have anything to add?
I'd like to go a little deeper, if I may.
Permission granted.
Thank you very much for permission. Okay, well, I think one of the problems in the West at this time is there are some politically correct situations which has come to the United States as a young nation and country, and they are breaking all the rules that is being followed and taught with the prophets and scriptures, and they have their own idea as being correct and the way that has to be followed. It is very idealistic. When they talk about the equity between men and women, they are talking about Holy Mother. The woman that is godly, it absolutely follows God's laws and regulations, and she is so pure and manifest. What is that sound that goes on? There's some background noise coming. Is that everybody here or me?
Yeah, I could hear it.
Somebody has something going on. Anyway, that we agree with you. They are should be highly respected. They are holy mothers. They are godly, and they follow God to the max. And they are absolutely equal with men. And not only equal, some of them even greater than a lot of men. And they are absolutely, you are correct on that. And there are other women that we can see a lot of preachers, a lot of great, I guess it's me that's coming back to myself. Okay, anyway, there are a lot of women that make a lot of great men even fall, and they have referred to in the Bible as the shallow showmen, showgirls, and the people who not following God, not godly, they are not listening to the godliness, then they become the lower nature of man. Women are very attractive to men. I mean, men are very attractive to women. God has given women a lot of things the men desire, and therefore a lot of men are not strong enough to overcome or say no to the temptation, and therefore they can tempt them to the lower nature. Okay? So those are the women that we're talking about as the lower nature of man. Does it make sense? Hello?
Yes, that makes absolutely sense. Once again, I pushed the button to speak, and I turned off my microphone. I've got to stop that habit. The sound we were hearing was feedback from a sensitive microphone picking up the speakers. Now, I plugged the headphones into my speaker, and that sound has gone away, so I guess I'm the culprit there again, too. So if you bounce me out of the room, I understand. I'll take my punishment. But what I was starting to say is that, you know, when I look back at my past and how my troubles have evolved over the years and struggles that I've had to overcome, that the source of my downfall has been women and cookies. So if I stay away from both of those, I don't think I'll do all right.
I tell you a problem. Let them men have that problem. I don't know about the cookies, but...
and
I guess the worst thing for me to do would be to meet a woman who makes cookies.
I was thinking of making that joke.
Now you
And I, again, you know, Maitreya teaches the middle path, and you could say maybe the Western has gone way over to one side, the Western way of, you know, not a lot of covering of the body and being very loose and not worrying about your kids, and then to the more Middle Eastern way where the chador, and Maitreya's come to a middle path there, you know, saying women are here to manifest divine grace, and that's their dharma. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
And what Maitreya was talking about with the idea that there are godly women, and then there are not so godly women, and the not so godly woman represents the lower nature of man, goes very well also with the idea that Maitreya talks about, which is once the lower nature is overcome, is overcame. Once you overcome the lower nature, it actually becomes a star and a guiding light in your path, and becomes a benefit, kind of, rather than a problem. Because once you overcome it, you can use it to see what the proper way is. And so that's why the idea of Lucifer as the shining star is born from, because once the lower nature is overcome, or once those lower chakras are used correctly, they become a shining star in your path. So you could say that that relates to the higher godly women, that the lower nature of man, without being under control, is the shallow showgirls, and the lower nature of man, when under control, can be related more to the godly woman.
Is that what I said?
Okay, but then back, and somebody else has got a mic that's too close to their speakers, because I'm still hearing some feedback. Somebody else is falling on the floor, I guess. Okay, but then going back to the other point I was making about the what you call the avatars, or the great souls, and I'm calling ascendant masters. In the Madame Blavatsky's Theosophist teaching, she talked a great deal about ascendant masters in several other traditions that I have touched upon, especially in the metaphysical area. Talk about ascendant masters. Now, you know, I thank you for the links to the reading, but I'm kind of interested in hearing what the take is on these, I would say, non-physical entities that might possibly have some way of influencing or contacting physical beings like humans.
Well, since you're an agitator, I'm going to agitate you and give you another link instead of answering your question.
I guess I deserve that.
If someone wants to talk, go ahead. I have to find it, but I know exactly where you can find the answer.
Okay. If I may be in the quasi new guy here, I finally can talk. I finally have a voice. And also, I think Mrs. Fields might represent the devil to us. That might be what the what he's getting at, a woman with cookies. But the Ascended Masters, and I just do spend some time over the years with a group of followers of Madame Blavatsky, and have talked some about them, because they have a different idea sometimes of Maitreya. So when I start talking about Maitreya, it's a lot like, you know, having to discern between the Share International and our Maitreya, which is an actual human being and not a fingerprint on a mirror. But the best explanation I had with Ascended Masters, because they talk a lot about Ascended Masters, is when I've heard Maitreya say, and also it's logical, is that what we say is the goal of life is to become divine. And so our goal is not Ascended Masters. It's not somewhere between here and there. Our goal is the finish line. It's not to get somewhere in between and push ourselves up and say we're ascended masters, or look at us, we're this or that. That's not the goal. And so a lot of the people in that theosophy are talking about, you know, other stops along the way, and I tell them, no, I said, I don't want to stop along the way. I want to go to God directly.
You ready for your link, Fabrizio? Here you go.
I have my pen in hand.
Okay, so there's the link. This is a link to, you probably don't even need the link. You can look it up in Tho. This is Tho, Holiest One, Tablet 19. And actually, if I may...
Well, I got... Go ahead.
Since it's small, I'm just going to show my screen, and you can look at it.
Well, I've got Tho open. Tho is on my desk right in front of me here.
Okay.
So I can easily flip the pages and save you the trouble of aggravating me or agitating me any further.
Sure. That's kind of my duty, right, is to not listen to you and keep agitating you. No, I'm just kidding. But let me just read you just one paragraph, if I might. So this is in Todd discussing Genesis 6:2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And it talks about how these sons of God came to earth and essentially fell, and these fallen ones joined the fallen hierarchy, and they are not a part of the heavenly hierarchy, but they pretend themselves to be. True heavenly beings do not use individuals as channels, but help them to realize God. They also reveal to them realization of subtle truths through individual intuition, the quiet, still voice of God. They have no individual ego and are one with God. Individuals become channels for God. It is of extreme importance not to be possessed with fallen ethereal beings. That is one of the reasons God sends the Messiah to show the shortest way to salvation. The ethereal beings sometimes reveal a lot of good information, but God alone is the salvation. And it goes on, but I think that explains pretty clearly a lot of the mission's teachings about ascended masters and channeling and things such as that. The avatars are not referring to these people.
Well, Nora, I didn't know you were a psychic because you preempted my next question. I was going to talk about channeling.
Okay.
Sort of an extension of ascended masters, because there are a lot of people out there who claim to be channels and who are selling a lot of books, mm-hmm. and putting together a lot of seminars and charging people ridiculous sums to come to weekend retreats to hear them talk about manifesting whatever you want in life by believing in it hard enough, and you too can be rich if you want it bad enough. And that seems to be their way to salvation. And they're channeling this information from Abraham or whoever they claim to represent. So anyhow, yes, you've already answered that question, so I guess I don't need to ask it.
Maitreya always says that anyone who tries to get in the way between you and God is a problem. The Messiah shows you the way to God. He is the teacher that teaches you the path, but you walk it alone. And there is nothing you need between you and God in that path.
Right.
Well, you know, there's nothing in Tho or any of the writings or lectures that I've listened to that I disagree with. And, you know, I know I could actually not come out of my room. I could turn off my computer and just sit and read Tho and read the readings. I'll have everything I need to know all by myself. But, you know, as we discussed before, the whole idea of community is that we discuss these things among ourselves. And that's keeps us going, I think, is the opportunity to discuss these things. And meeting them is great, but talking about them is even better.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm done.
What did you say?
I was going to say that that's the like-minded community. That's why we want to form communities, because the like-minded community, it helps accelerate what you're talking about. It helps the understanding and helps keep the...
I'm actually very happy that you guys discuss it between each other and learn from one another. That is the way to learn. That's great. No, go ahead. Don't back off. You're doing great.
And I love it, because when you run into people and you have to share the teachings, then having discussed it, you know, ourselves, you know, for whatever reason, it helps us share it better, you know, later on, and just continue to do that. I was going to add that great souls, also, when Maitreya was talking about that at the feast, answering a question of Samuel's, I mean, it really doesn't matter to identify any specific people as great souls, but to know that the great souls are those that manifest the fruit, whether they be avatars or satgurus or elects or whatever, they're the ones that manifest for the mission and the eternal divine path.
Actually, if you're a great soul, you even don't know you're a great soul.
Right.
To answer your question about the hierarchy, in very short answer is, they are the fallen angels. That's it.
You mean they're not ascended masters or fallen angels?
Right. They connect, anything connect you to themselves are fallen. If they're not connecting you to God directly, they're fallen. That includes gurus, mullahs, priests, rabbis, anybody who is in your way, as Noor said, is fallen.
So like, if you look at the Benjamin Krem teachings and organization, like, they say that, like, Christ received his knowledge from Maitreya, who was a greater being, and then Benjamin Krem is shadowed by Maitreya, who is part of a collective of many of these, and Christ is below Maitreya. You see how many levels there are all of a sudden? You know what I mean? It's no longer just a Messiah, God, and the individuals. Mm-hmm. Suddenly there are four or five different levels. Mm-hmm. You talk to Benjamin Krem, who speaks to Christ, who is channeling Maitreya. And where is God? You know, so it's exactly that kind of thing that we have a problem with.
When I read Benjamin Krem's lectures or whatever he calls them, I get a little bit confused because the identity and the location of his Maitreya is never revealed. He seems to be sort of a phantom character. So is there really a Maitreya in physical form that he's talking about, or is he, like you just said, talking about a collection of entities? Just like, I can't remember the name of the people that do the Abraham thing, but Abraham is supposedly a collection or consortium of ascended masters who are channeling through, her name will come to me later probably, same sort of thing. That's my thought.
Well, it's fascinating if you actually listen to Benjamin Krem in, like, an interview or something, because, you'll say, what do you believe? And very passionately, he will describe that Maitreya is coming and that he will bring world peace and that the prophecies are fulfilled and this is the end times. And then if you try to get more specific, his voice becomes less certain, more uncertain, and he starts sort of evading the question and dodging it. And so that's why I think Maitreya feels that he's a confused, just become confused, because he's very sure that Maitreya should be here, but the rest of what he has does not seem to make so much sense to him. So all he can do is repeat what he understands, and then he sort of gets confused with the rest. So it just really seems like he had it right, but he lost it. And so now the teachings are contradictory and confusing because he's not really sure what he's supposed to be teaching. Kind of. That's always been my feeling when I listen to him.
And it's really fascinating because the first time that Benjamin Krem announced that Maitreya would be on Earth, it was in 1982, and we had no idea. We knew nothing about Benjamin Krem, and Maitreya did announce his presence. He announced that Tho was here, and it was put in magazines, many different magazines, in the spring of 1982. And just a friend of mine happened to say, oh, I saw a book about Maitreya, and it was a Benjamin Krem book. And you know, so Benjamin Krem probably was supposed to announce the coming of Maitreya, which he did all over the world. He did, and it was in the spring of 1982.
And also, it's often difficult here in the Western world, especially the United States, where we have a real Christian base, that they have the Christ and the physical. They have so much more of the physical. To whereas it, once you drop that and you read the teachings and you see that the teachings and what Maitreya is doing is being the bridge, is being the path, to showing us the path, and so you're not to worship that bridge, and you're not to, you know, hold any of those physical things in between you and the goal.
That's right.
I wanted to mention one thing. The ads were mentioned, and those are on our website for anyone to research and look at, both Benjamin Krim's ads, that Maitreya is the Christ, and Maitreya's, the Mission of Maitreya, or Maitreya's ads that were in magazines announcing his presence and that Tho is available in the spring of 1982. It's all on our website.
And it's not just a year, it was actually a month apart. I don't remember which one did it first, but it was like May and then April.
Yeah, God is amazing. In the long run, it's going to be just a beautiful play, you know. In the long run, it's just going to work beautifully.
Noor, maybe you can go to that page.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I'm still showing my screen. I forgot. Okay.
Well, that's the reason I don't completely put Mr. Krim out, because he did announce 1982. And I think he was inspired. And I have no doubt of his sincerity. He really is sincere.
Uh-huh.
But I think he's confused. That's all. That's all I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if everyone can see this, but this was Benjamin Krim's ad in April of 1982. The Christ is now among us, is a mature adult man, is here to inspire and ensure the end of fear and starvation. His presence has been known to few, is being discussed by many, and will be known by all in spring 1982.
Yep.
This is Benjamin Krim, and that's April 1982, and here is ours in April 1982. It's not even a different month, it's the same month.
And we had no idea. We had no knowledge.
Well, that brings me to another thing that I've been thinking about quite a bit. Benjamin Krim knows how to do marketing. Okay, he knows how to get on the mass media and get the attention of the population. So there are a lot of people who are aware of him. And I don't know how much influence he has, but he knows how to at least get his message out there on the mass media. I don't know how you're all going to take to this, but I've been researching what they call intentional communities. We were talking about communities of light, and I asked last month, you know, do we really have a community going? And we don't. So I started looking up intentional communities, and I'm discovering that there are a lot of intentional communities, that are functioning. There's a farm in Tennessee that's been around since the mid-1970s. There's the Twin Oaks, that's only a few miles away from me here in Virginia, that's has 100 members, 85 adults, 15 children. That's all they will take in their community. They have a profit-making operation going, though, but since they're organized as a nonprofit, they course use their money internally, but they have a long waiting list for people waiting to get in. And you know, I'm discovering there's a lot of communities out there of people that have common ideals, common goals, but they seem to lack direction. But they are, you know, back to earth type people, and they're trying to pool their resources and their efforts and their energies and come up with something that's consistent for the entire community. So what I was thinking was, would it be possible for a group of people from the Mission of Maitreya to get some RVs or something, contact some of these communities to see if it's possible to go on a little speaking educational tour to visit these communities, to explain to them what the mission is all about, not as a proselytizing trip, but sort of an informational trip as a guest speaker at one of their events, and to see what kind of response you get. And let's say you visited 20 communities, and five of them said, we'd like to hear more. Well, then on the second visit, maybe Maitreya would be willing to come along and do a presentation. The first trip would be sort of an introductory team, and the second trip would be the real deal. In other words, get the show on the road, you know. What is your reaction to that thought?
I should warn you first, Rubizo. There's a thing in the mission that you suggest something.
I was going to say that too. You're supposed to do it.
I missed your comment. I'm sorry.
Yuna said that in the mission there's a policy, which is if you have a good idea and you suggest it, then it's your responsibility to do it, basically.
That's why we're all laughing, because well, we all
knew that. I've got an RV, and I live in the tent whenever I can, so, I mean, but I would make a very poor one-man representation. I'd need
sure,
to
yeah.
Equipment. I could drive the bus, but somebody else would have to do the speaking.
Well, that is pretty good.
You can't shut me up, you know.
I'm ready. When do we leave? I'll even bring the cookies so we're not tempted.
Funny.
When Brad was here visiting me, that was, I think, something that we briefly touched on. You know, the idea of someone, you know, traveling around in the United States, you know, about sharing the mission. At least I think we did.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. And I promise I'll come for the second visit if you get them going.
Yeah, I'll soften them up, and then you can knock them down.
All right. That's a deal.
Well, are you saying that that's a possibility, that that's something that we could possibly consider is visiting? Because, see, the way I see it, these people are already bonding together, and from what I've read on the sites, you know, they become sort of like Amish communities, that they have this common goal, and they help build houses, and if somebody's sick, everybody else cooks for them, and all these, you know, common efforts. But it seems to me they don't really have a direction. Most of them seem to be following sort of a pagan spiritualistic path, which is, you know, comes under the first seal, and they've already hit the second seal, and that they formed a community. So I would think that they would be a very receptive audience.
It sounds like you got everything you need. You have the RV. Brad is a very good speaker. And I come the second time. Sounds like this is the project just happened.
Well, yeah. the Brizo, like, we are never not enthusiastic about spreading the mission in any way possible, especially to people that are receptive. Our problem is more like resources and ability.
Resources.
like we've had suggestions anywhere from, you know, bringing Maitreya to India to having a delegation to the Hopi community. And the only thing that's stopping us from doing all of these things is simply the fact that we don't have the people or the initiative or the resources at this moment. So if you are interested in getting something going like that, we will support you 100% in every way we can. But that would be great.
Well, okay. I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to promote myself here. I'm trying to do something that's good for the mission. But I have an opportunity in the next few months to work with a community that's in the development stage, and it's being put together. The property is owned by somebody I met in California, and just coincidentally, he contacted me 2 weeks ago. It's sort of a synergy here. Things just seem to come together when the time is right, and I might be able to play a management role in the development of this community that he's trying to start, which is almost, say, 20 miles away from the farm, which is a tremendous, you know, that's one that was started back in the 70s, a very big operation. So I might be developing some networking connections with some of these communities that are already up and running. So that's what kind of put this idea in my head, actually, that this is a possibility. So, yeah, I may be in a position to be a liaison person with these communities.
Well, actually, we started a project also in Albuquerque that Noor has been working on it. Still, do I sound okay? Do I sound come through?
Good, sir.
Okay. You can go ahead, Noor, if you want to explain about our ideas of starting a farm and solar energy and renewable energy, and maybe become self-sufficient, and maybe a community can be evolved around that farm?
Sure, yeah. Maitreya pretty much covered the general idea of both of it, which is simply that we feel it's really essential that food be made organic, sustainable, local, and natural again in order to provide the maximum benefit to ourselves nutritionally and spiritually and also to the earth to keep it from being sick and to heal it and in many other ways. But what we don't believe in is returning to, I guess you could say, just like you said, like a more Amish lifestyle of where we do everything by hand and we reject technology because that doesn't seem progressive to us. Technology is provided, you know, like technology is God also if it's used correctly. And so our goal is to try to find a way to use the most efficient practices and the best technology and minimize, you know, the amount of labor necessary and basically do it the best we can, but still make it as local, organic, and wonderful as possible. And so we're beginning on this project. I'm interning at a farm right now to learn some things about that. And that is our eventual goal, is to become like a self-sufficient community based around an organic, large-scale farm. And I hope you also understand that the only reason there is not a community at this point is because, like, the people have not congregated yet. If people come to New Mexico, we could have a community of light tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's just a question of interest in people coming. So that's what we're interested in. And that would definitely be a part of what we're doing. So I think our interests are very aligned in that way. And we have a lot in common with a lot of these other communities, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You can sign me up for that one, too. But part of what I was, Kyoshi was talking about is saying that it took me until I was 56 years old to know what I wanted to be when I grew up, and that would be to be like one of these evangelists that travels the country because I love to travel. And I love to talk about the mission. And so that is something that I'm hoping in the future. I currently take care of my elderly father, so I do have some obligations. But that is something that I, you know, for me, as far as one of the things I just love to do, and that would be something like what you're talking about. It would be contacting groups of people, you know, and then going there and having meetings with them. And then, you know, just putting the information out there. Like you say, we're really not proselytizing, but you want everybody to be able to hear about the eternal divine path. So that may be a good way to get things started.
The sooner we can create a community here, the sooner it will spread. Because we create a community here, and it's just going to go like wildfire.
That's a good point, because that's the example. Mm-hmm. But there is also so many intentional communities out there, so if people are receptive, mm-hmm. I think both ways are wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that part of that, when you have a group of people, it also draws a little more attention, because I've noticed on National Geographic's had a few things here about people who are claiming to be the Christ and some of the groups that they have, and I'm thinking, why don't they come and see us? And I said, well, we don't really have much to film because they have bigger groups and they have buildings and they have, you know, a bigger network, so they have a little more going on. And so if we start to manifest a community here, and then that gives us a little more, you know, a lot of people say, not maybe a little more credibility, but just a little more of they can see something happening there and not social networking, like, you know, a lot of people are tied to people through the social networking, but we would be physically together.
Mm-hmm. We could have a reality show.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Can I say something?
Uh-huh. Hey, go ahead, Katerina.
I'm Katerina. Can I say something?
Please. No, we can hear you.
Absolutely.
Okay. What Brett is talking about is what I try to work on, but I'm quite here on my own in the Netherlands. And it would be nice if somebody could write to me, to my email address, to make more contact with me, because I'm totally free. I'm totally in the mission. For now, it is the sun. But it is the same. There's no difference between the sun and the mission of Maitreya. So, for me, it's easy to start things because I'm totally free. I'm totally free. My life went like this. I lost all my family. And it was by a purpose to set me free. And my whole intention is only working for the mission like this, the communities of light. Since I'm a child, I have a wish to live like this, and I thought I was on the wrong planet. And that was my feeling, and I suffered a lot about it because of that. So there's nothing, there's no greater wish in my heart to work for the light. So if people could contact me, it would be excellent.
What other languages do you talk, Katrina?
My language is Dutch. It's called Dutch. It's from the Netherlands, Holland.
Do you speak French?
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I can't. but that's not a problem. It's not a problem.
Sure.
I travel everywhere, India, Kenya, everywhere.
Okay. Yeah, we can send somebody to talk to you, and if you want, we can arrange that.
Yes, I would like that very much.
Okay, send an email and tell how we can contact you. So probably we can call you and talk to you out there.
I will do that.
All right. Okay. When we build the temple, that is the mission.
Sure.
Go all over the world.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. But the temple is inside, isn't it?
Both inside and outside.
Can we put up a picture of the temple?
Thank you. That was my question.
Sure.
Okay. Well, you know, it's strange. I've been listening to what Katarina's saying, or Katharina. and when I listen to some of the recorded lectures on the Pell Talk Room, and you're talking about the Paravipras and what type of person is being called, I sometimes think, well, he doesn't even know me yet. He's talking directly to me, and he is exactly hitting me right in the center of my being because, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, God, this is all about me, but it sure does relate to me in the way I feel. And it sounds like Katharina has the same feeling that, you know, she's being called. And I guess everybody in this room feels that way.
That's right.
Anxious to get going and do something with it. You know, I can only talk for so long. I've got to get up and start swinging the hammer, do something, make something, and get something going.
But what do you want to do?
The hammer.
What do you want to do? And I saw three projects you talked about. First of all, you want to help to start that community there. Second, you want to travel around and spread the mission. And third, you want to learn the teachings. Which one is the priority to you? Which one you are ready to go for it?
Well, actually, I'm ready for all three, but I have to take them in sequence. Learning the teaching is an ongoing thing. It's not something that I do, you know, do this first, but constantly studying the teachings. I'm also trying to learn to speak Spanish, because I think that's an important language asset in this country. As you know, I talked to you last month, and I sent you some messages. I'm very interested in coming to New Mexico and taking an active part in the work of the mission to help make something happen. But this offer to help a community develop in Tennessee, very close to the farm, it seemed like, okay, that was sort of dropped in my lap. I wasn't seeking that one out. It sort of found me. And what I've learned through my 60-plus years of traveling a zigzag path is that the plans that we make sometimes do not work out the way we planned them, but the things that are given to us, we should take advantage of and follow, because it's been given to us for a reason. So this thing that I'm talking about now just came to me 2 weeks ago, so I'm still digesting it. But my overriding goal is to be part of the mission and do whatever I can to make it successful and use whatever talents and skills I have for the good of the community. So that's kind of a roundabout answer. But no, the mission is primary to me, but this other deal that I look at as a temporary phase is maybe a good learning experience, and it may enable me to develop some good contacts.
Yeah, I find that the creative people, especially people in the mission, I find very creative. And because they are so creative, they can create so many projects for themselves and see that possibility to do those projects that sometimes they have a hard time to prioritize which is the one that they should do. And therefore, they become scattered a little bit. So that is why one of the things, put that project in your meditation, in the silence between breathing in and breathing out, and let the priority come through, which one should I do? Otherwise, we are creative people, and that is when we might get scattered if we do not prioritize and take the one is the highest first and go for that one instead of, you know, going for the things that come to our way. Because, you know, there's so many things come to our way. But, of course, if the time correct, we will do that for sure. But I'm just trying to see, you know, what is the priority in your projects. Otherwise, it's fine. It's great.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Why did you ask if I would speak French? Are we talking about the White Brotherhood and Omran Ivanov?
No. We have a person in Quebec, Rada, and she's French. She speaks French very good. I thought maybe she can talk to you in French because your English is great, but I thought maybe you know French better or something like that. But
No. English is the language is the best. I don't understand French too much.
Yeah. Then we talk to you in English. That's okay. And also, when the satsang is given, one of the nature of the satsang, I'm talking to everybody now, not Katrina. The nature of satsang is, when it's given, it talks to every individual directly. That's why each of you think it's for you, but really it's for everybody.
I mean, the truth is the truth is the truth, and but it also has more than seven meanings, like Maitreya always says. So whatever level of consciousness you're in, the truth will speak to you in a certain way, no matter what.
And Maitreya is calling. He is calling everyone right now. He is calling Neelix.
Actually, it is happening when I start calling.
And another quick note, Tahira just typed, and I just remember also, Athena, I think, speaks Dutch. If she's interested.
Is the same thing as the Dutch, is the same thing as where she's at?
Yes.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. She's so busy. But we can ask her. The sisters can ask her. We have a group, sisters group in Mission, that they write to each other, so they can ask.
Oh, yeah, that should be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dutch is the language of the Netherlands, which we call Holland, and Deutsch is a language of Germany. Deutsch from my few years in Deutschland. I have another question, which is not related to anything that we've been talking about so far tonight.
Okay.
I've been trying to tally up the seven prophets. I know we have Moses and Buddha and Jesus or Isa and Muhammad and Baha'u'llah and Maitreya, which comes out to six. So I'm missing somebody. Who am I missing?
Okay, well, it's Adam, Abraham.
Adam, okay. Yeah.
Abraham, is that actually Moses? Moses had a very limited mission. to take the Hebrews from Egypt to the Promised Land. But really the head of the second seal is Abraham. And then, of course, Christ or Isa, Muhammad, Bab, and Baha'u'llah, which we consider them as one prophet, and Baba, 6, and me, 7.
Okay, what about Buddha and Krishna?
All of them fall into the first seal.
Okay.
All the mystical path, Buddha, Krishna, Shiva, all those things from the India and Far East, and everybody who taught meditate and know thyself fall into the first seal. So they don't have a specific prophet, but they are a collection of many revealers.
Okay, well, Buddha is the one that I'm most familiar with. Oh my God, who's calling me this time of night? They can wait. Anyhow, I broke my train of thought completely. Excuse me while I turn off my cell phone. I'll be back.
That's another route. The cell phone is off.
Maitreya, did you say that the first seal, the major prophet of the first seal was Adam?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Not was, Noah?
No.
No, okay.
Well, Noah brought the mystical path to humanity. Before that, there was no need for the teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Mystical path was something people had connection to, a spirit. What's a mystical path? Really, meditation and all the techniques are to connect you to spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't need that before because they already were connected. So you can say the first teacher was Adam. But mystical path in the seventh seal started with Noah.
Okay.
Does it make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, then I have another comment then, because I read a very interesting scholarly book called Moses, and it presented the theory or concept that Moses was not a single person, that there were several personalities involved in the entire story of Moses. So the story of Moses is really the story of several people, not a single man. And that Moses was a title more so than a name.
Well, not according to the scriptures. One of the things you might get confused pretty fast is to read and listen to all the different theories you can find in the West. And that get you confused pretty fast. They have hierarchies, they have many people, you know, created Moses. Even Adam probably wasn't the same one person. He was many people, and therefore you have to destroy any confusion. If it confuses you, then it is not correct. And where did they get the idea he was more than one person? You know, your theories, you can sit there and make theories. And I don't know if you guys listen to a program called Coast to Coast called George Nure. And after a couple of nights, if you listen to him, you know, you get pretty confused because everybody come with the different theories and that is when the concept of the revelation from God comes in. And intellectually, you can read a lot of book and believe in what they say. And after a while, you don't know what is the beginning, what is the end, what is the correction, what is not correct. And therefore, you have to reach a point that you say, okay, I read enough books. They don't make sense. They're not based on the scripture. They are theories made with the different people, and it's the intellectual curiosity of them. And they might even have an agenda why they created and said that. It's become so complicated, and therefore, you have to say, okay, I'm just going to listen to God instead of books. you know, that goes very well with our teaching about the small boot, that it tastes good in your mouth and it become bitter in your stomach. I don't know if anybody wants to explain it to him what it was, what it is.
It's in Daniel, right, Maitreya?
No, it's in the Revelation.
Revelation.
It's in the Revelation, okay. In the Revelation in the Bible, it speaks of what Maitreya just said. The book, the little book that is sweet in the mouth but becomes bitter in the stomach. And Maitreya explains that that is a symbol for intellectual, like, extreme intellectualism. Intellectualism taken to an extreme. Or the intellectualism that has dominated the world for the last 2,000 years. Because, I mean, I did the exact same thing. Like, I studied philosophy like crazy in high school. And it seemed so great. And I felt, like, so smart and learning all sorts of good stuff and everything. And by my senior year, my final project was, we can never, ever know anything for sure at all, no matter what. And I can't even be sure that what I'm saying right now is true, so maybe we can know something because we can't know. And so that's the bitter in the stomach part. Like, what the heck do I do after that? So it seems to me like the only real issue is Maitreya the prophet of God or not? I kind of feel like that's why Christ always said, just tell people that Christ is here. All you have to do is prove to yourself, is Maitreya the prophet of God? If he is, then listen to what he says. It is the truth. If he is not, then, you know, go to all your intellectual books and stuff. But that's really the only issue. If you prove to yourself that Maitreya is the prophet of God, the answers all follow from there.
It's also true, like Maitreya has told us many times, that there can be many, many people that have 99% of the truth, but only the prophet God has 100% truth, and that's what's important, and that's where and what we need to put our attention on. So I think that's really something to take to heart again, because a lot of us been through this book and teachings and masters and all of that, and we've come to understand that the Maitreya's teachings are 100%. No matter, we can read great books and be inspired, but the bottom line is you want 100% of the truth of God. So thank you, Maitreya. Thanks, God.
Thanks, God. And also, this doesn't mean that we discourage you from reading or searching and
right.
all that. But if you accept this teaching is 100%, always compare with the teachings to see what is teaching said, what is that book says. If that book says something confusing, but our teaching clearly explain it, therefore our teaching is correct. We don't want to control you. We don't want to control anybody. We want you to search and understand by yourself in a deeper level. If you realize that mission is the deepest level, then after a while you don't have any problem.
And we're so lucky to have Maitreya here now that we can ask him these questions. But the mission and Maitreya and everyone has done everything that they can to help preserve the teachings in a way that it will always be there so that we can use the teachings to compare and see, you know, how does this measure up to the teachings of the mission.
Never before has the prophet been able to handwrite the teachings, put the exact words down with his own hand. It hasn't been an oral tradition where things have been changed and deleted and added to. But this time, Maitreya wrote the words exactly. And it's on the website. It's on the internet for everyone around the world to read.
And there was no prophet who's been good to go to meeting.
This is the first for sure.
I think we have Al Gore to thank for that, don't we?
Right.
Yeah, he created the internet.
My friend will come and do go-to meeting. It's a definite prophecy. We need to finish.
Well, it's been going great, and I don't want to cut it, but we're a little bit over our time. We can continue if it's okay for everyone.
But you have to go to work, don't you?
Not for another hour.
I'm the only one who's sleeping. I still have to work a long, long day tomorrow. Obviously, I have to work till late in the night. So this is going to be a long day.
Oh, we hope it was worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it so much. Yes. I have a question. I'm walking around with that question a long time, but my heart gives the answers always. So I, most of the time I don't need so much answers because answers are inside. But the Suryaji from the India, he's 38 by now, and he was brought up in the temples. And his mission was teaching about the sun. And concerning me, he is a certain kind, I call him always a master because I feel like that. And I look at his behavior, and his behavior is very pure. And that's why I have a lot of confidence also in his personality, in what he's talking and what he's doing. It's touching me always. And sometimes I see that he's falling out of that that harmony himself. And then people start to doubt, you know, they start to talk about him, who is he, and it's like they can't see him as a whole picture, you know, they want to split him in parts. And for me, I think it's also very difficult for him to live between all the humans. What you talked about, the difference between men and women, it's very hard for a person like that to live with all those temptations. And I watch his behavior, and he's so calm, and he's so in balance. So I think he's a very high creature, high person. Can you say something about that, Maitreya?
I thought I'm going to... She's asking for the room. Okay, well, I don't know him. It's the first time I heard... What is that, Surya Yoga, you call him?
Surya Yoga.
Surya is S-O-R-I-A-H.
Yes, he changed his name in S-O-O-R-J-A-J-Y, Surya G.
Surya G, okay.
Okay, S-O-O-R, okay.
Here, I
typed it. I was looking there. Okay, do I have it on the screen?
Is that correct, Katerina?
Can we have your screen?
Oh, I just typed it in chat. I can look him up.
Suryaji.
Yeah, I would like to. I have a picture here, but I don't see any picture. I can't see you.
But you can put my picture in the website for her. If you guys want to. Okay. Yeah, it's what kind of the behavior does he do that you think he's not pure?
I think he's very pure. I think he's very, very, very pure. But a lot of women can't stand it. They think he's like Jesus. And the others, they are discussing about him, you know, because... He's beautiful to see. He has a beautiful face, and a lot of women try to seduce him, and they have so much fight among each other, all those women, and he's just standing there watching their fights and not understanding what is going on. But his teachings about the sun are so good and so pure.
Yeah, well, then you put yourself in pedestal and you call yourself prophet or guru or messenger, that easily happens to you. And that's why women are like a cherubim. If you are not pure enough, they can pull you down. And that is what part of the woman's job is, to destroy the men who are impure. So, and therefore, men who are pure will not fall for the temptation, and they love God more than women. Uh-huh. And
He loves God more. He loves God much more.
Yeah. If does he fall for any of those women?
No.
No. Okay.
No. He's very
strong. Pure man.
Strong.
He's very pure man, and
he's a very pure woman, man.
Sure, that's great. If he didn't fall for them, then he's very respectable. And he loved God more than woman. That's great.
Yes.
That's what women want, actually. They
all
want
the
a man
time.
That loves, yeah.
It's like
they
a
want
big
a man
more
who loves
love
God
me.
More. Exactly. Yeah. That's good. So I have to tell you he's a pure man.
He's a pure man. How can I help him? Because he was also coming to the West. He was living in this house with me for a while.
Uh-huh.
And it was a wonderful, wonderful, harmonious atmosphere. And he was calming down so much because he could be with me in one house and relax and feeling comfortable, you know, because I kept the peace with him so nicely, so quietly.
That's good.
What can I do for him as much as I can to help him also with his mission?
Just leave him alone. He's going to be okay.
Okay.
Yes, if you want to lose it.
Yes.
It's up to you, so, whatever you want to do. Go ahead.
Well, it's been an hour and a half, and I think it's been a great conversation. Thanks, God. Thanks, Maitreya.
Sure. Thanks,
for
God.
The opportunity. Yeah.
Thanks, God.
Hopefully it all makes us think about our lives more and learn about the teachings more. It makes us more curious and follow the Charan Divine path to become the examples that we can.
By the way, I love the centers, the picture you have in the thing. They're beautiful.
You like them? All right. Thanks,
yeah,
God.
That's
yeah.
Great. Now we have 3 centers in Turkey, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
And pretty soon it's going to be all over the world. Thanks, God.
Yeah, who knows, hopefully.
Yeah, all right. Okay. All right, how's Nihan doing? Is she doing okay?
She's doing good. She doesn't have a computer, so she couldn't, connect today.
That's okay. That's what we're getting along and doing the mission together, that's all counts.
Yeah, we don't have much customers now, so we mostly do the reminder and the readings and things, which is great, of course. But yeah, we mostly do deliver flyers and today I go around and deliver some brochures and talk to some people and all that.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, hopefully it's going to be better.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, please go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, I think it's going to take some time. It has a process of its own, but hopefully, when we start to get going here, it will be much better, and hopefully, I will be able to make the other centers improve and. Standardize everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So then we can even go to Europe and start centers there.
Sounds great.
Yeah. maybe Katrina can help you to start something in Netherlands.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, just do it. You know, don't think about it. Just do it.
All right.
Yeah, so then is there anything else? Anyone would like to add something? Any other questions, comments? Well, I guess not.
All right.
All right.
All right. Hello, everyone.
Shalom. See you next month.
Shalom, everyone. Thank
Shalom.
You.
Shalom,
everyone. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom. Great meeting. See you next month.
Okay, I'm ending the room. Shalom.